We're glad to have Pastor Adam Garber here to preach God's word to us. He is the pastor of the Northside Baptist Church in Nolanville, Texas. That's a suburb of Killeen. He has a great ministry there to servicemen and servicewomen who are on the base of Fort Hood. He came to Nolanville in 2015. Before that, he served for 7 years as an associate at a church in El Paso. And God is blessing the Garber's ministry in a great way. He's been a friend of mine for many years, and I'm so glad the Lord has brought him a little closer. He's going to be here tomorrow preaching for the IBFI Metro meeting. We'll host a preacher's fellowship here, and we were happy to have him here on a Wednesday night as well. So Pastor Adam Garber is going to come and preach. I hope you'll pray for him as he comes.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jill. Lord bless you. Amen. Well, it's certainly a joy to be here tonight. So thankful for the opportunity. What a blessing it is. Appreciate Pastor Gillett and his faithfulness and his testimony and how the Lord is using him. It's great to see God using him in a mighty way. My wife and I popped in here about a year ago, just on a Wednesday night. We had some things we were doing here in the area, and it was a joy to be here and hear him preach and know that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And it's always great to hear someone preach the Word of God, and we rejoiced in it that evening. We were up here just a few months ago for the Standing Together Summit, and that was great. Appreciate all the work that you did to host that meeting, and Pastor Gillett working diligently trying to get young preachers together. I barely made the cut. They were looking for preachers 40 years of age and younger, and I just sneaked in there. I think I was one of the only bald heads in the room, but it was fun to be a part of that, and be called young again. Someone actually called me a millennial, and I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know if that was a good thing, but anyway, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate the kind accommodations and the things that your church has provided for me this evening. What a joy it is to be here and the great history and legacy of this church. Years ago, I heard Dr. Barber preaching and quoting the scriptures and the Word of God, and God using him mightily. Just recently, we were acquainted with Brother Weaver, and he and his sweet wife, they came and preached a missions conference for me at the Northside Baptist Church here this past October, and the Lord used him greatly. And we got to see the Lord do some wonderful things. It's exciting what God's doing there at Northside Baptist Church, and I'm praying for the young preacher that's in the pulpit there at our church today and asking God's help there in that area. We're excited about what God's doing. Brother Barber will be with us in February. At some point, we're going to get Pastor Gillett down there to preach for us. And I'm excited about that. I hope we can work some things out on the calendar and that kind of a thing. But I want his influence on Northside Baptist Church. I think it'd be good for all of us. I know it'd be good for me and an encouragement to me. I'd like to recognize, if I could, the active duty and prior military. If you're here and you're active duty or prior military, we're working right there in that area, Killeen and Fort Hood, and the Lord's doing some great things there in that area, and I believe that I serve among America's heroes. Yeah. Some of America's finest live right around me serving. And how many of you here tonight have prior or maybe you're even active duty military? Would you please raise your hand? Wonderful. Would you stand? That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. That's great. Amen. We certainly thank you for your service. Lord bless you, men and women. What a great thing it is to know that you served us and you served us well, and we were rejoicing in it. It's good to see Miss Stephanie Flores here, and I know her husband. He's not able to be here tonight. Ray, it's a blessing. They were in my Sunday school class as we served in El Paso, Texas. And they had moved away and gone to Wisconsin, I believe, to be a recruiter for the United States Army. And then Ray got out of the military, and they said they were moving here. They're from here. And they said, where should we go to church? Do you know any churches in the Fort Worth area? I said, if I'm living in the Fort Worth area, I'm going to Worth Baptist Church. Amen. And I'm glad they found a home here, and I believe they're settled. And I'm so delighted and encouraged by all that. Would you take your Bible with me, please, tonight? We're going to go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. I've got maybe a little lengthy of an introduction before we jump into Revelation 4. But I want to try to encourage us from the scriptures tonight about living the Christian life. I'm thankful for the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in us, convincing us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I'm so thankful for that. Without that, could you imagine the kind of trouble we get ourselves into? Can you imagine? Maybe you don't need to imagine. Maybe you've experienced the kind of trouble you get into without following the Holy Spirit's leading, or you may know someone who has chosen not to listen but to quench the Holy Spirit of God in their life, and they've gone off, and you believe they may be living a life that is for the destruction of the flesh. They've been released by the Lord to go out and to live the self life. Can you imagine? I'm so grateful for God's work of bringing me to the understanding of my sin, pointing it out in my life. I believe there's sins that are presumptuous sins, sins that we do against the Lord, and we continue to do them, and we continue to do them, and we think we'll never get caught, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God works in our hearts to bring us to a place of understanding that we will reap what we sow. There is an accounting day. I'm so thankful. I believe there's sins in our lives that secret sins, sins that no one else knows about. But I'm thankful the Holy Spirit knows all about them, and He convinces us of sin. Then I believe there's sins that are secret to us, sins that we don't even know exist in our life. The Lord hasn't brought us to that occasion yet of understanding our pride or understanding our rudeness or the things that we're not doing that we ought to be doing for the Lord. I'm thankful that God reveals those things to us by His Holy Spirit and leads us as we're instructed and taught in our Christian life. I can't imagine what it would be like to be without the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding us. Without the Spirit's work in us, we're left to the devil's devices, and the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It doesn't sound great, does it? It sure doesn't. The other alternative is being left to the flesh, and the one left to the flesh soon discovers death. It's James 1 and 15 that tells us, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Yeah. Friend, aren't you grateful for the continuing work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives? Yeah. I'm convinced of this, and I want you to understand this. I want you to gather this tonight as we're considering the Lord and considering ourselves and considering the flesh life and how to be tuned in to the Lord and to His Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that most of our failures in the Christian life are not due to the direct fiery darts of the devil, but are due to the love affair we have with the flesh. Our flesh. We're in a love affair with our flesh. We like ourselves. We have desires and wants, things that we want to accomplish, things that we want to do and be, things that we want to have, lust of the flesh. I believe much of the issues of life and failures in the Christian life have more to do with me and my self-life than they have to do with the attacks of the devil. It's the flesh life, though, that's been crucified with Christ. But yet it gives me so much trouble. It's the flesh life that I am able to be dead to and am supposed to be alive unto God, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. What appears to be true in my life so many times is that the flesh life is alive and not dead, and Christ seems to be dead and not alive. Do you ever struggle? I do. I find myself saying this in the same spirit as the Apostle Paul. The things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. And the things that I want to do, I can't seem to find the power to do them. You ever found yourself in that place? I hope I'm not alone in this. I don't believe I am. But I struggle. So where is this power or assistance? The aid that the Lord has promised by His Holy Spirit. Where is it? How do we live the crucified life? How do we live out death to self? Maybe better yet, how do we live out alive to God. Alive to God. I believe that it comes from our vision of God. We have to live the revelation for life now. Let's examine Revelation chapter 4 if we could together. And I want you to draw your attention to the last verse. The book of Revelation chapter 4. If you look with me please in verse number 11. We'll discover here this scene, there are 24 elders that are gathered around the throne of the Lord. They have witnessed four beasts, one with the face of a lion, one with the face of a calf, one with the face of a man, and one with the face of an eagle. And these four beasts fall on their feet, verse 8 tells us, and they begin singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when they begin singing that, the 24 elders fall on their knees, on their faces, they cast their crowns off their heads, and they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." This statement that they made to the Lord about God being worthy, and He is the only one that is worthy to receive all glory and honor and power. He is the one that has created all things. He is the only one that is worthy of all glory and honor and power. What made them say these things? What gave them such authority and clarity to make this statement known? What gave them the victory to make this statement that the Lord is the only one that is worthy of all glory and honor and power? It was what they saw. It's what they saw. Let's examine what they saw, may we? Would you back up with me in Revelation chapter 4, beginning verse number 1? Let's look at the glory of the Lord. Let's discover it here if we could in verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit." That's a great place to be. "Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne," just one, this is God, "one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper," it's crystal clear, shining, "and a sardine stone," this is red like crimson blood, "and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald," it's green. John says, "I came and I heard a voice saying unto me, 'Come into this room of heaven,' and a door was opened to me. And John went in, and when John went in, he saw there was a throne, and there was one that sat upon the throne. And this one that sat upon the throne, his face shone like crystal, a great beam of light." We could go and we could discover in other scriptures more accounts of this, the book of Ezekiel and Revelation 21, we discover more accounts of this same image that was seen, this one that sat upon the throne, this one that shone bright. We did not see his eyes, we did not see his ears, we did not see his hands, his face, and his feet, but we only saw the glory. It was shining bright like crystal, like diamonds. Intermingled in was blood, was the idea of this blood, this red, this passion flowing through this crystal. And over top of his head was a bow. It was appeared to be as a rainbow, but the rainbow wasn't full of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. It was green, which was a reminder of the precious and the fresh and the new promises of God. God is able to carry forth his word and carry forth his will and his work in this world. It was this glory that these 24 elders saw. It was this glory that these four beasts, which had a face like a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle, this was his glory. They saw God setting upon his throne. They saw his glory shining. They said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory." Glory. Can we examine the honor? Beginning in verse number 4, where John continues to describe what he saw, and the Bible says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. This honor that is spoken of here in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, about thou art worthy to receive honor, this honor is shown by the 24 elders sitting around the throne and the 24 lesser seats. It is shown by the four beasts that gather around that are singing praises unto the Lord day and night, never stopping, with no rest at all. They sing about the holiness of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This honor that is given by these 24 elders. They're singing. They're showing honor. They're paying reverence to the one that sits upon the throne. They're gathered there around. They have crowns of gold upon their head. They are worshiping the one that is greater. They have taken their seat around the throne. They're bringing and giving honor to God. He is worthy of his position. His throne is worthy to gather around. He is due all honor. He is due all glory. He is due all praise. It is by these beasts that we come to an understanding, this lion, this calf, this man, and this eagle, we can understand that these correlate with the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They speak to us about the price that God's Son paid for us on Calvary's tree. How God honored His Son and how they've come. The only way they have access to the throne room of God is because they have honored God's Son and they've received Him. They've accepted Christ. This lion, this calf, this man, and the eagle. Perhaps it's safest to say that the four faces are more important because they represent all of animate creation in its utmost excellence. The lion is the mightiest of the wild animals. The ox is the strongest of domesticated animals. The eagle is the king of all birds, and man is the highest of all creation. But yet, they're gathered around the throne, and they're not trying to promote themselves. They're promoting the one that is holy, holy, holy. They're promoting the one that is the highest. They're promoting the one that is almighty. They're promoting the one that has no beginning and has no end. They're promoting the one that shall always rule and shall always reign, and they are falling under him and giving honor to the one that sits upon the throne. The glory, the honor that is due his name. Can we examine the power? In Revelation chapter 4 and beginning of verse number 9, I'd like for you to discover the continuation of the scene. Would you look with me, please? The Bible says, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders, notice what they do, these ones that are in a position around the throne, but not on the throne. They have crowns of gold upon their head, but yet, surrounding the throne, their attention is given to the throne, not to their seat.
Look what they do as these beasts begin singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." The Bible says these 24 elders in verse 10 fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him. That liveth forever and ever. And notice what they do. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I want you to notice these 24 elders, they fall down. At the recognition of the holiness of God, at the recognition that God is the Almighty, at recognition of the position of God Himself and at His throne, the 24 elders fall to their faces, and they do not keep their honor, but rather the crowns that were given to them, the things that they may think that they are worthy of, the acknowledgement that's been given to them, these golden crowns that are upon their head, they take them off, and they realize that they are not the worthy ones. There is only one that is worthy to be praised. There is only one that is worthy of all glory. There is only one that is worthy of all power. And there is only one that is worthy of all honor. And they cast their crowns at the feet, and they throw them towards the throne, and they put their faces down to the ground, and they recognize that only God is worthy, and only God has all power. Dear friend, where are we going to find the strength to live the Christian life? Where are we going to find the strength to live in the Spirit of God? Where are we going to find the ability to die to self? It is not in giving attention to the self. It is giving attention and worship to God and God alone. We must die to self and be alive to God. Death to self, alive to God. Death to self, alive to God. But how shall we die? We do not die by saying, "Oh, I've got to give this up, and I've got to give that up, and I've got to quit on this, and I've got to start doing that." That is not death to self, my friend. That is being alive to self. Get your attention off of self and fix your eyes upon God and see yourself gathered around His throne and finding a place of falling upon your knees and casting everything you are and everything you have to offer, giving it to God and asking God to fill you with His Spirit so that you can be used by the one who is worthy. Oh, dear friend, putting off of self does not come at the examination of self. It comes at the examination of God. And when we see God for who He is, He will show us who we are. And then we give that and we cast that to the Lord. Oh, dear friend, tonight we're in great need. We're in great need of a vision of God. We're in great need of knowing and living the revelation for life now. Now. We have cheapened God. We have cheapened God to processes and procedures. We have cheapened God to regiments. We have cheapened God to tradition. God is worthy of all glory. He is worthy of all honor. He is worthy of all power. And until you and I find ourselves before the throne of God, we will never be able to overcome sin. We will never be able to conquer the thing that's that vice that has us bound, because you and I do not have the strength, the discipline, the power, the order of life. We cannot keep such a busy life that we stay away from sin. We are too creative. We have an imagination that wonders. We will find sin. That's who we are. That's what we do. When we find a place around the throne of God, and we come to Him and we see Him for who He is, He will lift us up. Not to establish us on a throne. He will lift us up to go and do the work that needs to be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God desires to fill us. and to use us. But he cannot when we are so full of self. So full of self. In the book of James, we're encouraged, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. To what? A position of pride? To a position of esteem? To a position that you can brag about? If you were to examine the remainder, and we'll do this tomorrow in our preacher's meeting, but if you examine the remainder of that chapter, you'll discover that God does not lift us up to let us go out in a spirit of pride and a spirit of esteem and a spirit of self-worth. He lifts us up for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He lifts us up to go and do the work that he's given us to do. God is not about exalting us and lifting us up in pride and giving us a position. He is about lifting us up to go to do the work so that he can receive all the glory, because he is the only one that is worthy to receive glory and honor. Oh, dear friend, true worship's position is under God. It's under God. We must fall. We must fall. You're here tonight. I pray you've come to hear from the Lord, to learn from his word. If you're like me, there's a period of time in my life when self and sin was so fresh. There was no idea, no thought, no good thought of how to put that thing to death. If that's you here tonight, friend, I want to encourage you, you can't win. You can't win until you fall on your face and let God do the work that he wants to do in you. And maybe you're here tonight and you've exalted yourself against God. You're boastful and proud in your sin. You think you've got something to give to God tonight, and people haven't recognized your abilities or your gifts, or the choir director hasn't heard your voice and showcased it yet. Maybe Pastor Gillett hasn't given you the opportunity in the pulpit that you think you deserve. The Sunday school director hasn't given you the Sunday school class that you think you could take by the tail and do the best with it, and you're waiting for that one who you think is incompetent to quit or to finally get frustrated so that you can have an opportunity. You've exalted yourself against God. I want to encourage you to join in casting your crown tonight before the throne of God and humbling yourself before the Lord and knowing that only he is worthy to receive all glory and honor and power. You may be sitting here tonight and not affected at all. I've been there myself. Going through the motions of a church service. People are expecting you to be here. Somebody's going to ask you where you were or wonder why you were gone, and so you come. And you have a relationship with someone here, but you do not have a relationship with God. How are you going to get one? How are you going to make it afresh and anew and keep that fellowship with the Lord as it ought to be? Dear friend, It's not going to come through busyness. It's going to come by humbling yourself before the Lord, falling flat on your face, and getting a vision of God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and all power and all honor. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. We've arrived to the place of invitation. This is when folks are invited to come. The Lord has, by His Spirit, by His Word, has spoken to your heart. It's time to respond to God. You're invited to come tonight and respond to the Lord. Dear Christian, do you need a fresh vision of God? Do you need to see the Lord again, high and holy? Are you tired of being tired? Are you tired of feeling useless and helpless? There is help at the throne of grace. You can find it today. Seek the Lord. Maybe there's some here tonight, you don't have a relationship with God. You need to put your trust, your faith in Christ as your personal Savior. There is none that can save but God. Trust in the Savior today. He'll wash your sins away. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll make you one of His children. He will fill you with His Spirit. He will enable you to live the Christian life. Would you trust in Him today? If you don't know Christ, we invite you to come. I'm going to ask Pastor Gillett to come, continue this invitation, close it how he wishes.
Father, we thank You for the powerful message that we've just heard. I believe You're speaking to hearts. We don't have to wait to give You the glory, honor, and power that You deserve. We can do it tonight. I pray that many of our folks will come and find their rightful place and put You in Your rightful place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Johnson.